This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Cohen.
And I'm Madeline Brand. Detroit, Michigan has been called the most dangerous city in America. That's according to an annual report from a private research group based on FBI crime statistics. Last year, it was St. Louis. The label and how it was arrived at both have sparked controversy in Detroit and elsewhere. So we had reporter Celeste Headley ask residents of this so-called most dangerous city to see if they feel unsafe.
Among the dozens of people that we spoke to on the streets of Detroit, only Shantae Whitfield and Elmore Blakely seemed surprised by the news, but they had very different reactions.
It's very shocking, very, very shocking. I mean, makes me want to move. It really do. It makes me want to go somewhere else.
That's news to me. I thought, Memphis and Philadelphia were the worst. I've had an encounter, but still that doesn't make me think Detroit is that bad. I love Detroit. I'm not going anywhere.
When you have Los Angeles, Chicago, I mean, even with New Orleans, you know, from the results of the Katrina, they're
Ernie O'Allen Jr. says Detroit is no worse than any of the other big cities in the country.
New Jersey, Miami, I mean, all of these other cities are actually much worse than we are.
Dan Zielinski is walking back from class at Wayne State University. He says Detroit is safe as long as you don't do anything stupid.
There's nothing to fear. You can park your car, just put the club on. Don't leave your CDs out on your on your chair and whatnot.
Sierra and May, sitting at a bus stop around the corner, agree.
It's not that dangerous.
You don't feel unsafe?
No, I don't. No. And I was raised here my whole life on all different parts of the city, so not at all.
Uh-huh. It has something to do with your crowd, who you deal with and stuff like that, so I feel that in order to be safe, you got to pick the right crowd, too, and some crowds isn't safe.
Many Detroiters simply don't believe the findings of the report. Monty Nagler says he doesn't buy the idea that Detroit is America's most dangerous city.
I think they're wrong, and when I hear it when I travel, and I travel out, I say, I think you folks are wrong. It's a great city. I mean, I did this photography for almost a year in Detroit. Never had an inkling of a problem.
Were you in some of the so-called dangerous neighborhoods?
Some of it was, yeah. And I'm always careful, as you would anywhere.
It may seem odd that Detroiters would deny the facts. The report published by the CQ Press uses FBI statistics in six different crime categories to rank 378 cities around the nation. And facts are facts, right? But Michael Tonry of the University of Minnesota warns against leaping to conclusions. The report is misleading and irresponsible, he says, because the authors have isolated the city of Detroit, even though it makes up only a quarter of its metro area.
And said, well, in this area, which is heavily disadvantaged and has the industrial bits from which much of the upper middle and middle classes have flown, the crime rate is 50 per 100,000. Whereas in San Diego, it's only 13 per 100,000. By golly, isn't Detroit a huge amount more dangerous?
But that's a false comparison, he says, because the boundaries of most eastern cities like Detroit haven't changed since the 1800s. In the West, cities have expanded to encompass their suburbs. So Detroit is 136 square miles, much of it downtown and industrial. San Diego is 372 square miles, including upscale residential neighborhoods and quiet suburbs.
And if you were doing the honest comparison, you would compare the Detroit metro area to the metro areas of every place else, and then you'd be okay.
The FBI includes a cautionary note on its website, warning that reports like the one issued yesterday lead to, quote, simplistic and or incomplete analyses that often create misleading perceptions. Detroit, St. Louis, and several other cities have jointly hired a PR firm to counter the findings of the report. Celeste Headley, NPR News, Detroit.
Okay, so if even the FBI admits its report could easily be misinterpreted, exactly what are you supposed to do with these sorts of rankings? Fred Siegel is an urban historian and a professor at Cooper Union for Science and Art. He joins us now from Brooklyn, New York. And Mr. Siegel, what exactly do you make of these kinds of rankings? Is there any point to them?
There's some point, but you don't want to take them too precisely. They represent, you know, the general trend of a city. So last year St. Louis was number one, this year Detroit. But all of these cities that come at the top, St. Louis, Oakland, Detroit, Baltimore, have dysfunctional police departments, dysfunctional criminal justice systems. So no, the precise ranking is not terribly important, but the general ranking is.
And is there any way to actually determine whether or not a city is safe or dangerous? Is this real science here?
No, it's not real science. But what you can be sure of, when a city is down toward the bottom, it's genuinely dangerous.
And so what effect does that have? You know, when you tell a city you're one of the most dangerous ones to live in, what effect does that have on things like real estate or people making the decision to move there?
Well, talking about it, it doesn't have much effect because it's the reality that's already affected the real estate market. The response of the Detroit police chief, Ella Buller Cummings, was to say, this is not so terrible because this is mostly criminals killing criminals. And that's met with a considerable amount of mockery because the collateral effects are considerable. The fact of the matter is that this may the positive effect of this may be to stir a reasonable debate in Detroit. Making number one, it's not all that different from being number two or three last year, but nonetheless, it forces the city to talk about its own failings.
And so what are you supposed to do with information like that?
You're supposed to put pressure on local politicians. And look, take a look what happened in Philadelphia and Newark. In Philadelphia, where crime is completely, murder in particular, is completely out of control, Michael Nutter won election, talking about taking this on directly and seriously. For years, Philadelphia has ignored these questions and race-baited them. The mayor who was leaving office, John Street, saw himself as a victim of white institutional racism and conspiracies and did not deal with the problem. Michael Nutter is also African-American, has come in and says, I'm going to deal with this because the city demands it. And he won election convincingly. Similarly, in Newark, where crime is out of control, Cory Booker is trying to do the same thing. What's difficult is when you have dysfunctional police forces, they lack the institutional capacity to use effective crime-fighting measures, the kind of things that were done in New York.
So what advice would you give if you're one of the cities on this list and you're being told you're a dangerous place to live in? What can you do as a city?
You've got to reform your police department. You've got to begin by changing the training. If you spend time in Detroit, the police are not highly visible, and when they arrive on the scene, they barely seem to be in command of the situation. This is a police force that fell apart a long time ago, and putting an institution back together is immensely difficult, but it's unavoidable. That's what has to be done.
A lot of these cities say they can't afford more than what they have now, so what advice would you give to a place that says, yeah, sure, we'd love to have a police force like yours, but we don't have the funds?
They can't afford not to, A, and B, I'm skeptical that they can't afford to. If I look at how public salaries were distributed in Newark and Philadelphia, they went to cronies of the political regime. The money was there. The money simply wasn't used in the right way.
Urban historian Fred Siegel spoke to us from Brooklyn, New York. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.